Hello and welcome to episode 432 of the official EstablishTheRun.com podcast. My name is Adam Levitan and I'm back for a bonus edition of Market Monday. I know I said last week was the final Market Monday, but I realized a ton of people have drafts tonight, tomorrow, Wednesday. I'm a man of the people. I am back. This show, of course, is designed to get you up to speed very quickly on recent average draft position, aka ADP movement in the fantasy football markets. In the show notes, you can find a free link to charts and the full article on this topic from ETR Director of Analytics, the man behind all this, Michael Leone. By the way, it is officially DFS season. DFS, to me, is the best form of fantasy. If you are good at fantasy, if you are hardworking, it's the best space to compete at the highest level for whatever amount of money that you want. I think you'd be insane to try to play DFS without our in-season package. You just can't compete without the best projections, ownership, and context around all that with our articles and shows. So check that out on the subscribe page now. I know we don't have monthly and weekly up just yet, but that will be up very, very, very soon. Also, if you're the type of person listening to a Market Monday podcast right now, you should be putting your knowledge to work at Underdog Fantasy. Promo code ETR will get you $100 in free entries. Remember, they have this $2 million to first tournament that's going on right now. Still seats available in that insane stuff, $25 buy-in. Promo code ETR for up to $100 in entries at Underdog Fantasy. All right. Let's get into it with the risers from the last 7 days. Antonio Gibson is up 10.1 spots on Underdog to 89th overall. Obviously, Antonio Gibson's rise is stemming from the very unfortunate Brian Robinson situation. And by the way, shout out to Brian Robinson. Sounds like he's going to make a full recovery and eventually be able to play again. You know, not sure when, could be this season. Brian Robinson was placed on the non-football injury list, meaning he'll miss at least the first 4 games of the year, but it could be much longer. We don't know. He was shot in the knee. No structural damage. As for Gibson, I get the case for Antonio Gibson now. I really do. But I really don't want to get high on a guy whose own team clearly doesn't like him. The Commanders desperately brought back J.D. McKissic. The Commanders used a round 3 pick on Brian Robinson and had given Brian Robinson the starting job before the shooting. The Commanders never seemed to think that Gibson was great in the pass game, you know, even going back to last year, and they were tired of the fumbles. You know, they put him on the kickoff return team. The Commanders still have Jonathan Williams on the active roster. They have Jared Patterson on the practice squad. So look, we have a guy in Antonio Gibson who won't get passed down snaps. His team hates him. Team's not going to be very good. I'll take guys like Renfro, Kadarius Toney, who I'll get to in a second, Chris Olave, CEH, Ramondre, Jacobs, Sky, MVS, Damian Harris, a lot of guys in that range I'll take over Antonio Gibson still. Actually, the guy I like most in the wake of the Robinson incident is J.D. McKissic. I mean, just more pieces of the pie to go around, more of a base role for McKissic. We already knew that he'd be elite in the pass game, and so I just think the floor-ceiling combo for McKissic is better now. I like him and Nyheim Hines a lot as late-round running backs in full PPR where I'm weak at running back. Second riser is Raheem Mostert, up 14.7 spots to 155th. Overall, this is a result of the Sony Michel cut, which I think was expected, but maybe the market didn't buy it fully. Raheem Mostert has long been one of my favorite players in the league, one of the original members of team preseason many, many years ago. Dude can really play, you know, 5.7 career yards per carry on 284 carries. The truth, though, is that he's a 30-year-old running back on his sixth NFL team. But man, he's fast. He runs hard. Coaches like him. And I've been in on Chase Edmonds. I've been taking Chase Edmonds, talking about him on the pod for months. But I do think Raheem Mostert in this 150-160 range still makes sense. Like, he's going to be productive as the thunder to Edmonds' lightning. You know, and he's not expensive. Speaking of not expensive, next riser is David Njoku. David Njoku is up 11 spots to 148th overall on Underdog. I think this bump is simply based on preseason usage. And the preseason usage for David Njoku was fantastic and really, you know, was expected. The Browns gave this dude a 4-year, $54 million contract in May. He's going to play every snap. And we know he's incredibly athletic and talented. The question, of course, is quarterback play and the ability to earn targets. You know, both are real questions. But still, at 148th overall, it's just a no-brainer to me to take shots on Njoku. The role is strong. The talent is strong. Close your eyes and let the chips fall. And I like doing that a lot at tight end, especially in the best ball stuff lately. I've been waiting on tight end and taking three late. There's just so many that I like. You know, like taking three of Pat Freiermuth, Irv Smith, Albert O, Njoku, Gerald Everett, Higbee, Tanyan, Brevin Jordan, Marley Cox. You know, take three of those. I think if you miss on elite tight end, I think that Njoku is close to the top of the tier, if not at the top of that tier for me, though. Last riser to mention is Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs is up 4.1 spots on NFFC to 76.9. Look, I don't like Josh Jacobs. You know, he's not going to play on pass downs. Team didn't pick up the fifth-year option. You know, maybe Zamir White steals some base work. But still, Josh Jacobs is the starter for a pretty decent team that will be reasonable on offense in terms of scoring touchdowns. And Josh Jacobs has shown an ability to earn targets on early downs. He's a former first-round pick. He's certainly not talentless. So it's gross, but I've seen Josh Jacobs go in the 80s. Like, I saw him go 86th overall in a full PPR draft. And to me, it's just too late. Like, I don't like Josh Jacobs, but I puke and I take him there at 86th overall if I need a running back. All right, let's get to this week's fallers. Drake London is down 3.5 spots to 76.9. I think this has to do with the knee scare. Hurt his knee, I think it was August 12th in that first preseason game. But he does have a chance and seems like a pretty decent chance to play week one. So I'm not too worried there. Even if he sits week one, even if he's limited week one, I don't want to overrate early season role. And I get also that the situation isn't great on Drake London. You know, he plays for the Falcons. Quarterback play is really scary with Mariota and Ridder. But Drake London was the best wide receiver prospect in his class. By most people's account, he went eighth overall to the Falcons, and they have total dust outside of London and Kyle Pitts. So I'm not going to overthink this one. I'm in on London still in that late 70s range. I do end up taking Christian Kirk ahead of him usually, and sometimes I take Devonta Smith over Drake London, but I still think Drake London's viable in that range. Next faller is Kadarius Toney. Kadarius Toney is down 4.5 spots to 87.6. Kenny Golladay, meanwhile, is down 21.9 spots to 177. I mean, this Giants wide receiver situation, what a mess. Let's start with Kadarius Toney. Missed almost all of the offseason, or a lot of it, due to personal stuff, knee issue, hamstring issue. And maybe that stuff would be okay. You know, that nagging weird stuff would be okay if it didn't sabotage his rookie year as well. Something just seems off. I'll get back to him in a second. As for Golladay, you know, he got paid an exorbitant amount. He had some offseason surgery they just revealed, but just doesn't look like the dude can get open. I think Ronan said he's been running routes with the stiffness of a mannequin. I think if the Giants could do it cheaply, maybe they move on from Kenny Golladay, but I don't even think they can anyways because Colin Johnson's out for the year. I mean, they need a big body like Kenny Golladay out there. So I don't want to draft a guy just because he'll be on the field. You know, that's how you get into trouble, especially at the wide receiver position. Oh, he's going to play a lot of snaps. Let's take him. But at 177th overall, I mean, my God, there's like no opportunity cost lost on Kenny Golladay. I think it's fine there. I'm also still in on Kadarius Toney because he showed he can win at the NFL level as a rookie in terms of earning targets at a really high rate, in terms of being effective with his targets. Now, I think the floor is lowish and the risk of missed games seems high, but Kadarius Toney, where he goes now, you know, 87, 88, I can stomach that. The one that's interesting, though, I mean, if you think Kenny Golladay is total dust and Kadarius Toney is a question mark and their tight end is, you know, Cody Bellinger and Colin Johnson is done. Wendell Robinson, man, I mean, that slot role in Brian Daboll's offense, Wendell remains one of my favorite flyers for sure. All right, last faller to mention here, Jaylen Waddle is down 4.5 spots in Fantasy Pros ADP to 47.2. I'm not sure I really understand the hate on Waddle. Like, no one ever wants to draft him. I get him so much in round 4 and sometimes even round 5. I mean, dude was the number 6 overall pick in the 2021 draft. He catches 104 balls as a rookie, and now we're just out on him because they signed Tyreek Hill. I think Tua can support two wide receivers in what I think will be a pretty concentrated offense. We know Mike Gesicki is getting phased out of the pass game. I don't think Cedric Wilson is going to command many targets, and I think the pass game is going to be really efficient, you know, San Francisco style, with that elite yak. So yes, I've been buying the dip on Jaylen Waddle. Okay, that's going to do it for the final Market Monday of the season. Thanks so much to everybody who listened to all these. Hope it helped. If you're playing DFS this season, Cody is covering the showdown for us just in an unbelievable way. Best showdown mind out there, in my opinion. And then Silva's matchups are up as we speak all of our projections and ownership projections will be live soon. It's just really hard to play DFS and play it well without having these tools at your disposal. And I'm excited for Establish the Show, Establish the Million, last minute live stream, etc. So yeah, exciting times with DFS back. For producer Jackson, for Jerry, I'm Adam. Good luck, everybody.